DDP yoga. Its very name is a contradiction unto itself.
Because it's not your mama's yoga.
I know you're always hearing me talk about how great this workout is for strengthening and healing your body.
I threw up my back.
I couldn't get out of a chair.
I want you to hear it from a WWE superstar.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards. I've really endorsed DDP yoga for a very long time, and I have to say, it's something that's become an addiction, a positive addiction, because zero impact, it really helped me speed up the healing process, staying injury-free, zero impact, and also eliminating the aches and pains in my neck and my knee and other areas that bother me every day.
I've been doing this for a couple weeks, and people are starting to ask me, what's going on? You look great.
You're going to have to pry my dead hands off this yoga mat when I go. This is me now. This isn't imagining myself living without it.
Because if you didn't do the work when you did, I wouldn't be here doing the work now.
I've done trainers. I've done gym memberships. I've done everything. This is the first thing that I have stuck to.
It's time for you to influence yourself and to take control of your own life.
It's DDP
Radio.
High five.
It's Wednesday, October 16th at 9 p.m., and you're on DDP Radio with Sparky, who is sort of filling in for Dallas, and the rest of the team is here with Robert and Stacey. What's up, guys?
Not much.
And we have our special guest tonight, Yoga Doc. What's going on, brother?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good, good.
Man, what a crazy week, and I'm coming off of 2 weeks. I'm actually glad you're here, Yoga Doc, to give some heads up on rehabbing injuries, stuff like that, which is what we're going to try to talk a little bit about tonight, because I tried to go completely nuts. We've had this contest last month in DDP Yoga and the Warriors and Training Group, and we do something called a 100 Bang Salute Challenge. And I think I took it a little too fast and a little too hard. Have you ever seen a Sun Salute?
Oh, sure. I do many of them. Like the Series A Sun Salutation.
Salutation. Mm-hmm. Exactly, that's it, and that's what we're calling a bang salute. So the challenge was we did our own version with DDP Yoga, and we put 100 together was the challenge, and you had to film yourself doing it.
Yes.
So I did mine, and we had to finish by the end of the month, so I got mine in the last day of the month, and I thought I would just bust right into them, right? So I got down on the mat, and I did 10 so fast, I thought I was going to die. So I had to slow down, and it didn't hit me until the day afterwards when I started feeling some pain in my hamstrings. And then I'm a smart guy, so I decided to power through it. And then I got up the next day and worked out again. And that was a – when did I do that? Tuesday, so that was Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday. Man, my legs were killing me. I don't know if it was trying to smash into the down dog so many so quickly or whatever I did, but, man, did I jack up my hamstrings. So I think this morning's workout was the first workout, not without pain, but where – because I've been without pain since the end of last week, but where I actually was able to get some flexibility back.
Right.
But I think I probably did everything you're not supposed to do when you finally realize you've suffered some type of workout injury.
Go ahead. Say again?
No, which was powering through some pain. I never iced it.
That was my question.
Yeah, and then when I actually hit my chiropractor, my appointment fell on a good day because it was about a week later, and I had been slowing things down, And she's like, you feel this, this, and this? And she went right up my hamstring, and she hit five places on the back of my right hamstring. And she's like, you just tore this all up right here. So I've been putting some ice on. I can't tell you the amount of flexibility and whatnot I lost. I learned my lesson, but I did it the wrong way. So I'm hoping people, A, can listen and learn from trying to tackle something too fast, too hard, and when you're in pain. And two, maybe we can start with some pointers on what you're supposed to do first so you don't do what I did.
Okay. So, number one, did you happen to look down at your heart monitor every once in so often when you were doing those?
Actually, I did not, because my heart monitor's battery.
The heart monitor. The battery. Which, by the way, you know, I've been looking a lot at, I've been looking out at the DDP yoga world, and I've noticed that there are a lot of folks that are wondering, you know, I'm taking some emails about, you know, their heart monitors are going down, and they think, oh, is it broken? What's the story? And we've just had, you know, I mean, DDP yoga is 8 years old, you know, in its infancy it was yoga for regular guys and YRG. Some of the heart monitors that people were buying, you've got to go ahead and change out those batteries. That's all. That's number one.
Absolutely.
So don't throw that bad boy away saying, this cheap piece of garbage. Check the battery first. Now, did you go to any place in particular to get those batteries, or how did you troubleshoot that?
I just knew it was a battery because for about 3 or 4 days beforehand, you know, the lines on the digits started fading a little bit.
Oh, okay.
And I couldn't read it through the light, and then it just faded right off. And, you
got
know, I, okay. I'm not on top of things sometimes, and it's been busy, so I didn't get it. But you do need your heart rate monitor.
Well, some people will just have it. And the reason I brought this up, even though this is not directly answering your question, is we're getting a lot of folks who are coming up with that. So I just want to put that out there for everybody.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, and here's the, you know, another question is, if there was no heart monitor, because you got to take yourself, everybody, into that, doing that 100 bang salute, which is awesome, but you got to watch your heart rate on that, because if you're banging, you know, if you're pushing high into the upper and beyond the aerobic zone, that's what's creating the soreness. Then your body is going to have to go and clear out all of those inflammatory chemicals that you're making because you've gone anaerobic for a long period of time. You know, that's kind of number one about that. You know, just kind of bringing it back to basics, right?
Yeah. So if we hit that right there, is that basically I was starving my blood of oxygen, which wasn't feeding the muscles? Is that kind of what's going on with that?
I'd say yes. You know, I mean, without being there in the moment and kind of checking what you were doing, but yeah, when you go anaerobic, I mean, you kind of what you did, and I don't want to offend any of the CrossFit people out there, but what you kind of did is you created like a CrossFit workout task where sometimes the heart is more willing than the body, and you start kind of taking yourself past the point of where, you know, all right, I keep going. You can do it, but the harder you push, sometimes the more of the price you'll pay on the back end, like the next day.
Is that why there are not a lot of repetitive, like constant repetitive moves throughout the workouts to not overtax the muscles?
Oh, as far as in the DDP yoga workouts?
Yeah, right.
Well, that is part of it. I mean, you know, because the thing is that, you know, at the speed that we're doing it, and just remember, let's take the 100 bang salute out of it, the old school way of doing things, and even, you know, what we decided to do with it as we were creating the workouts is a warm-up is a warm-up. You can get people warmed up in 5 minutes. You can do your, you know, your initial warm-ups, get them into the positions. And in the world of, you know, traditional yoga and DDP yoga, you know, Dallas, he's got so much to share, whether it's 15 minutes, 30 minutes, or 68-minute workout. There's so many things he likes to throw in there because we want to get most of the body parts appropriately, we want to get them really appropriately taken care of because when you do something like a forward bend, you've got to do an extension. There's always a point and a counterpoint, a flexion and an extension. So to answer your question in a long way, Stacy, is yes, you don't have to go and do the same thing over and over again, and that's just kind of part of the game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep, it does.
You know, I mean, we want to put – we don't – in the DDP yoga, in the original videos, the DDP videos, we didn't we tried to hit every body part and balance its, you know, antagonist – or its antagonist and its antagonist. So you're not going to do a lot of the same stuff over and over again because you got a lot of muscles to get to, you know.
Right.
That's true, man. And the funny thing, we had some people pop in and said, it's okay, go ahead and send the CrossFit people. I know those guys are pretty serious, but, you know, the 100-bang salute, when you were talking about moving faster there, I knew with those first 10, 15 I was hitting, as fast as I was hitting them, my heart rate was getting crushed because I was, within those first 10, I was dripping sweat. I was just crushing.
Oh.
Yeah, you just back off a little bit. I mean, you know, there's the traditional yoga folks. Sometimes they'll do 108 sun salutations. That's not, you know, and they might make that their workout, and that's kind of more of a spiritual thing that they're doing. It kind of, you know, like we're doing 100 bang salute, but you got to take it slow and with the flow, you know.
Yes,
it is a long distance race, not a sprint.
Yeah, I started breaking them up into chunks after that because once I got to 20 and then once I got to 40, those were a lot harder to do the way I was doing them.
Uh-huh.
And I had to force myself to take a break. I just couldn't do them connected as well. It actually took me about 40 to finally figure out, like, the rhythm that I needed mm-hmm. to go where I could take it. So
yeah.
I guess part of that is also knowing your limitations.
Yeah, learning experience. But, you know, this is all great stuff, you know. I mean, think of and it's something that you're not used to. You're not used to doing 100, you know, 100 DDP typical salutations, right? So that's not your common mm-hmm. thing. I'll always tell folks, especially the bodybuilders or, you know, just the guys that are really, they like lifting weights, myself included. I still love doing that. You want to freak out. What's a machine if you're in the gym that you don't do or you'll never do? And a lot of the guys will say, you know, the abduction and adduction machine, sitting on the, you know, sitting on the pad, squeezing the knees together and then pushing them apart.
Yeah.
So I say, why don't you get on there? Do about, you know, 2, 3, 4 sets at a weight that you think is okay. Don't kill yourself, you know. Maybe go 8 to 15 reps for 4 sets and then see how you feel tomorrow. And just the mere fact that you're not used to it, you know, you're walking like Fred G. Sanford the next day.
That's Sanford and Son for you guys born after the 80s.
Yes.
Oh, I remember that show.
Oh, I do too, man. That was great.
But Yoga Doc, I've actually got a question on icing, and Sparky, you made me think of it with your injury, and I have to admit also, I often don't ice when I probably should, and I want to know, what is it exactly that's so healing about icing? Is it the numbing effects of the ice itself, or does it actually aid in the repair of the muscle or the tendon somehow?
Well, here's one of the things that it does. You know, ice is anti-inflammatory, okay? And it is your number one natural anti-inflammatory, meaning no major side effects on the back end, right? And here, what does it do? Basically, the first thing it does is it slows down the infiltration or the accumulation of inflammatory chemicals in the area because you're cooling the area down, right? The next thing you're doing is you're also, you know, really you're taking the, you know, inflammation is usually hot. It can be red. right? There can be soreness. There can be pain. There's numb. So ice will numb the pain. It brings down the temperature. It usually will take away from any redness that accumulates in the area. That's usually if you have an injury, though. That's not just from a workout. And then, honestly, what ice also does is it helps you push those chemicals out or not allow them to accumulate in the muscles over a period of time shortly after your workout. That's just the deal.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, one thing to think about, too, is this is big. There was a football player. He's on the Buffalo Bills. He had a neck injury. He was basically, I think he was on the kickoff team. He was running down to make a tackle. He hit somebody. His head was down, and it was a very kind of an incidental thing. He wasn't, you know, it didn't look like anything crazy, but just the angle of his impact. At that point, he was nearly paralyzed as he, you know, shortly after he hit the ground, because he kind of tucked his chin and his head got compressed. At that moment, they took him off the field. The first thing they did is they really just put him in ice. To the best of my understanding, there was even a procedure done where they attempted to cool down his cerebrospinal fluid, and they even tried to, you know, infuse his body with ice internally in order to make sure that the spinal cord, so we're talking about cerebrospinal fluid, the spinal cord didn't swell, and they saved his life.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's amazing.
Not only did they save his life, he had a miraculous recovery in a much shorter period of time because they did not allow the spinal cord to swell and the inflammation to get right in there and start attacking through that whole spinal canal. That's how powerful ice can be.
Wow, you've made a great case, and that's what I needed to hear, because if I don't know why I'm doing something, I'll just toss it aside and say, well, I don't need to do it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we all need to understand it. I mean, you know, and let's face it, moist heat feels better, you know? Moist heat feels better, but what it does is it actually invites the inflammatory chemicals right back into the area that you're, you know, it's actually drawing the inflammatory chemicals, it's heating the area, right back into the area that you're trying to cool off. Moist heat or a hot shower is phenomenal for, you know, stiff bones and bone-on-bone arthritis or just that kind of achy soreness in the morning. And that'll get you moving. You know, BioFreeze is good for that, too. When it comes to, like, a post-workout situation where you're feeling stiff and painful, that's also part of the inflammatory process. You know, red, swollen, pain, loss of function or stiffness, that's when you throw the ice on there.
Cool. You know, and the funny thing about that is I until I started doing DDPO, honest to goodness, I was never an athlete in my life, so I never knew anything about icing. And even doing DDP yoga, up until this point since we kind of did that beast challenge, I never had to use it really much.
Yeah.
And after those first couple workouts, after I felt the soreness, last week, I figured I'm just going to ice it up anyway. And the degree to which I felt much better after giving it some rest and put some ice on it was amazing compared to before, where I had some lasting pain. And then, but putting the ice on it right afterwards, I felt great going into that night and even into the next morning.
Yeah, no doubt. The quicker you do it, the better it is. You know, right now you've got the Tigers and the Red Sox playing in the American League Championship Series. It's on as we speak. When the starting pitchers are done throwing however many pitches they're going to throw tonight, maybe 100 or so. Everyone has seen that picture of the guy with the ice on his elbow and his shoulder sitting in the dugout immediately after he came off the mound for the night, right?
Yeah, they put those guys wrapped up so much they look like Quasimodo because they got so much ice on their shoulder.
But there's a reason. I mean, this is a time-tested thing. And, you know, if you go back to the old Yoga for Regular Guys book, you know, we've got pictures of Dallas with ice packs all over his body. You know, and because he was one of the early guys to do it, you know, based on the fact that, you know, when you're 20, you don't feel like you need ice. When you're 35, 36, 40, after you're in the ring bumping around or working out hard, you realize you take every possible avenue you can to try to create the quickest healing response possible so you can go out and do it again the next night or get on the mat the next day.
Okay. So for people like me and Robert and I think Sparky too, where, you know, those who are at computers all day and sometimes you just get stiff and your muscles knot up, would ice or heat be beneficial or both? Some people say to do a combination of the two temperatures.
And it's not bad to do that. That's also something time-tested. But what we like to tell, and let me answer your first question directly. When you're sitting at the computer all day, and I actually find myself doing more of that myself now because of the DDP yoga training certification, watching all the videos and answering emails, and it's cool, but I feel you. I understand. You sit at the chair, and you feel like your body is closing in on itself like an accordion, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the best things you... Right, Robert?
Oh, yes. I am an accordion.
Yeah. So we all are, but the problem is most of us are walking around with all the cleats pushed together, and we don't pull them apart enough unless we get on the mat. To answer your question, in a kind of scenario like that, it's not a post-workout situation. You're probably good with moist heat, you know, kind of warm you up a little bit. I'm a big fan at that point of also doing inversion therapy, you know, getting on your inversion table or even just getting on the floor and doing, we've got that Superman push-up kind of challenge, too, where everybody was doing that. How about just do the Superman? Just reach your arms out in front of you, raise your legs, you know, mm-hmm. or even do up dog and down dog. But I think heat would be better in a scenario like that.
Awesome.
Okay, good. I can keep my neck pillow beanbag that I heat up the microwave. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of electric heat. I've been to a lot of seminars over the years where I've had some really, really intelligent guys talk about research in relationship to, you know, the heating pad, the electric heating pad. They say there seems to be a correlation between electric heat and maybe muscle the denaturing of muscle, where if you're weakening the muscle cells, believe it or not, something maybe that we're dehydrating them, or you know it's really odd, but a dry heat not so good, moist heat.
Yeah,
yes.
It can make sense. You're kind of like cooking yourself at some point.
Yeah, I like his work. Say again.
Oh, go ahead.
No, heating it up. That's what those were the words that he actually used. He goes, you know, especially if you've had an injury or if you're, you know, if the muscles are a little bit traumatized or damaged, they said, and somebody's been on that, you know, so they've got maybe damaged muscles or muscles that are attempting to heal from something. May even say like vigorous workout, what have you. You go ahead and you throw electrical dry heat on that. You're in essence. You're creating a continuation of the damage, and you're weakening possibly the cell walls or the musculature. This is, you know, conversation that's out there in the tissue healing, you know, trauma healing, chiropractic world. So just for everybody to know.
Wow, that's good stuff. Anybody else, if you got some questions or whatnot, Stacy's in the chat at ddpradio.com. So if you're listening and you want to get into the action, hop into the chat. Because we got Yoga Doc, a wealth of information, Robert, Stacy, and Sparky. And if you want to call, if you're in the chat and you want to give us a call and you got a question, it's 347-994-1216. So, yeah, that's really good stuff. I think I'm going to have to keep up the icing. I might just do it preventative after every workout that I feel I put a little extra into.
Yeah, it's a good idea. And, you know, you'll more than likely... You know, that's the way I love about DDP yoga is that it really, and Dallas, for some reason, Dallas doesn't like it as much as I say this. It really does give you the most bang for the buck. And the reason being, and it is bang, is because you're working out, but you're not killing yourself. You're creating a healing situation. You're moving things. You're creating flexibility. You're strengthening muscles and you're loosening up joints. But at the same time, you're not damaging your joints, And you're creating, you're setting this thing up in such a way by using the heart monitor so that you can do it again tomorrow and the next day and the next day with a minimal level of need for healing from the workout. You're not healing from the workout because you're managing it. You're actually creating a healing environment because of the workout.
And, you know, going from that, I know we got two callers on the line that we'll hop into in 1 second, Doc. But, you know, one thing that I found when I was coming out of this, and I kind of stumbled into it, one, because I needed a stopgap, so I saw my chiropractor, and I kind of looked at some physical therapy ideas for hamstrings on the Internet because you can find a ton of stuff there. But for people who have a type of injury that they felt from doing a workout, what sort of, you know, the best rule of thumb for them to take before they start to hop back into it again?
Okay, so let me see if I understand. So you're saying if they feel like the workout has created maybe an injury or maybe even aggravated an old injury or something like that?
Yep, that's it.
Okay. Because, you know, that can happen too. The first thing to do, obviously, is you want to increase your water intake and you want to ice the areas of pain and stiffness, right? And that's, you know, by the way, when we talk about icing, we want to create a, we want to put a cloth barrier between the skin and the ice, you know, just in case somebody, you know, attempts to put that big, you know, ice blanket on their back and, you know, and they put it right on the skin. Not a good idea. But icing the area, doing it 2 to 3 times a day, you know, if there feels like an injury. The other thing is, you know, what do? Increase their water intake. It really depends. If you're just talking about soreness, you know, you may want to just see how you feel the next day and maybe even vary your workout, maybe put a little bit more time between the workout, meaning if you're used to working out at, you know, 5, 7 a.m., if you have the time and the ability to create the schedule and you know you want to work out the next day, make it later in the day. Give your body a little bit more time to heal and perhaps even miss a day, you know.
Now, if you have like a muscle thing or something going on, is the flexibility or the engagement going to hurt you? Is it better to like kind of if you do it later, should you probably, my gut says don't go all out with the engagement, just kind of go with the flow so you're not really pulling anything or hurting anything, but you can still kind of go through the motions, right?
Yeah, I mean you can take it down a notch, but then you know what's interesting is when you're in pain, your heart rate's going to go up. You know, and why don't you try this sometime? Go ahead and, I'm kidding, but take a hammer and just frickin' just bash the crap out of your toe and see if your heart rate goes up a little bit.
That'll be our next cardio workout.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I am sure that we could talk Arthur into doing something like that. He'd be happy to do it.
Probably.
Demonstrate. But the thought process is that if you're really looking at, you know, it's funny, it's right back to fundamentals. Get that heart rate monitor on, and you may notice that, you know, you're not, you know, you're healing something, you're going through some soreness or what have you. If you follow your heart rate numbers, you may notice, well, damn, I'm going to have to disengage right now because I'm spiking higher just doing what I normally do. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And one of the things you were talking about with the ice and having that layer in, what I really like is I have Ace makes kind of a neoprene sleeve with that gel ice pack. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
And it's got a nice membrane with a Velcro strap that was perfect for me. I can just wrap it around, Velcro it, and it sticks on.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And you know, there are a lot of really good things out there where it's almost like it's an ice pack that's placed inside of a neoprene sleeve, or even, you know, there's a cloth barrier outside of the container of the ice pack and there's even some Velcro to, like you said, to attach it, let's say, to your neck, your shoulder, your knee, what have you. And, you know, there's a lot of really good products out there for that. Now, if you were talking about anything related to, you know, you're feeling like there was an injury of some sort and you really think that something bad happened, like, uh-oh, wow, I haven't felt this bad since I injured this, you know, something, you know, whatever it was years ago. At that point, you know, ice it up, you know, rest it a little bit, and you may want to go ahead and see your, you know, your kind of go-to practitioner, whether it's a chiropractor or your, you know, or if it's your primary care provider, and just to make sure. But, you know, I've heard so many stories about people who were doing extended programs with old school yoga teachers, and they would have sworn that they might have even torn something or they re-injured an old, you know, or aggravated an old injury. And the yoga teachers, which I don't promote this, but the old yoga teachers would say, just keep going. You're working through it. And, and they kept pushing them through. And within a few days, they made it through. So, you know, you've got to really weigh your options, you know, weigh how you truly feel. If it feels like the old thing and you're icing and you're still trying to work through the workouts, but it's just not happening, then you got to go maybe see your chiropractor, you know, see your, you know, your naturopath, your medical doctor, and try to figure out what's going on, especially if something got really bad and maybe even got worse. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because when I got in to see mine, she said my hamstring was so tight and so bad. She said, if you didn't come in and you didn't start doing some of the exercises that I was doing to sort of stretch it, I don't want to call it rehab, but I guess I kind of was. She said,
sure,
at some point that tightness is going to start pulling your hips out of alignment. She said, it's just going to go all the way up your spine. She said, everything we just fixed for you the past 3 months, you're going to throw it all out again.
Yeah, well, because the basically whatever it was, you could aggravate the fascia, which is the shrink wrap around the musculature. It's almost like it's a membrane, very much like if you peeled away the skin from a chicken and you see that membrane around the muscle, and you could even, you know, you can even cut into that a little bit and then see the flesh itself. Sometimes when we overdo it, it's the fascia that gets very tight and it just begins to constrict the musculature and cause a decreased range of motion. And then add the inflammation on top of it, and you've got a perfect storm for feeling really crappy and not being able to move. What you call it, Fred Sanford syndrome, right? So on top of that, let me see. On top of that, what, you know, one of the other things that you could do is get the foam roller and begin to roll those muscles out on the foam roller, because that will liberate the fascia as well.
Well, we'll have to give that a shot. And are you ready for a couple calls? Because I think, probably we got two.
Yeah, we've got three now.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, the first one up actually is what?
Go ahead. You're good.
The first one up is Travis.
Okay. Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey,
what's up, Travis?
Hey. Say, yo, Sparky, you actually did yours on October 1, didn't you? I didn't think you did it on September 30th. Your 100 bank salute?
Probably. The day is kind of one to go for me. I know I hit it right at the end.
Oh, you got it right under the wire. I'm just giving you a hard time. Hey, Yoga Doc, so what's your opinion on TENS units and using that to relax the muscle a little bit prior to ice and ice and compression and that sort of thing?
Okay, so kind of interesting. And that might actually be, you know, standing on the shoulders of what I said about electric current or dry heat, you know, on the muscle, where maybe you don't want to use necessarily use a heating pad. But what about a TENS unit, which is basically a kind of electric current that's causing stimulation to the muscle and maybe working the muscle out in such a way where, right, depending on what phase of current you're putting in and how you're pulsing this TENS unit. But what's my opinion? If it's helping, you're going to know pretty soon. I mean, if it's actually, you can do some of that. You know, I'm not condemning all kinds of electric devices that are therapeutic, but if you find that it makes a difference as far as your pain is concerned, and it allows for you to regain your range of motion, then it's making a difference, and I think it's positive. Yeah. But the key is range of motion, inflammation, meaning heat, swelling, range of motion, and pain. If it's getting rid of some of the pain, if it's allowing you increased range of motion, that means that maybe it is beginning to, it might be pumping some of that inflammation out of there. And it's not necessarily hot, it's just current. So there's kind of a difference there, and we're splitting hairs. But I say, if it works and you can move better, yeah, sure.
Okay. The other question I had then is, you know, on injuries. Now, what I was always taught, in the different dojos, the analogy we use is rice. You rest ice, yeah, compression and elevation.
Yeah.
And so especially when you get like in a sparky situation where he went too fast and he pulled his hamstrings there, how soon when you see that stuff happening, how soon would you get on doing that sort of thing with the compression?
With compression? Is that what you were saying? With compression or?
Or with any of those steps. I mean.
Oh, okay. I'd follow it exactly the way that that it was given to us. You know, it is time tested and true. I'd be icing him, pretty much right after the activity. You know, so the ice happens. The rest is immediately occurring based on the fact that he's done, and he's not gonna jump on the mat, you know, later that day or in the evening, and continue to rest. You know, missing a day, you know, as opposed to getting back on the mat the next day, and you know, compression and elevation, pretty much right away. But you know, especially the ice is the real deal right off the bat. Especially, you know, when he's feeling that. So the answer to your question is immediately.
All right. Yeah, that's kind of thought. I've had some injuries in the past in the dojo or whatever, where, you know, took a fall wrong. I've had my sensei, he took a short fall, and he actually almost, he felt like he broke his shoulder blade. I don't know if he actually broke it or not, but he hit pretty hard. He hit it hard, and someone came right and landed right on top of him as he was taking the fall. So if he didn't break anything, he tweaked it severely. So it was a lot of rest, whatever else. When you do that, how much movement? How much rest versus movement would you give that sort of injury? I mean, light stretching or complete rest?
Now you're getting into the, you know, now we're getting into the part of this that there's, you know, differing schools of thought. You know, the old school way, and I mean, it really depends on the nature of the situation. Like when you're talking about your, you know, the situation that you just described in the dojo, you know, you want to ice this guy up as fast as possible. And, you know, the rest is going to happen because obviously he's feeling the way he's feeling. But at the same time, let's use a DDP yoga workout. I would think that within, you know, depending on the severity of the injuries, you could start doing small movements like what Dallas does in Wake Up, you know, knees to chest, lift your hips, you know. Do some gentle bridges. You know, that's all a very, very gentle and easy activity. You can do that within, you know, a day or so just to kind of test the waters. You know, and that, obviously, you got to see how bad it is.
Of course.
But that's also a test. Just that, and doing those movements are a test to actually see how bad it is, you know.
Yeah, I know. That's why when I hit my shoulder and I tweak to whatever else, that's what I did. Was I backed off and I, you know, I do a lot of wake up and a lot of moving back and forth into safety, you know, back and forth from table to safety zone. Just that range of motion, kind of lightly stretching the shoulder back out and working it out a little bit, along with, you know, resting and icing and whatever else. I mean, if it wasn't for the DDP yoga, I think it'd be a lot worse than what it was. But a lot of, you know, using that combination of resting it and just lightly stretching or whatever else really made a difference.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, outside of, you know, our world of, you know, we'll just call it, you know, physical therapy-based or yoga-based rehab, but even when you're talking to the folks that handle car accidents for a living, you know, and other kinds of heavier traumas, you know, their protocol right off the bat is immediately ice the area, you know, immobilize the area, but within a day or so, depending upon the severity. I mean, if it's obviously if you're in a real bad way, if you dislocated that shoulder, you would have known it more than likely, and you would have been to the hospital. You would have gotten either X-ray or you would have had to have relocated the shoulder and had someone do that. But depending on the severity, it's, you know, immediate rest, ice. As long as there is no fractures, dislocations, or bad sprains, you start doing minor movements, kind of like, you know, little movements with in the wake up. You can even do, you know, if it's feeling a little bit better than that, you can move on your back from just moving from pinfall into bridge, moving to cannonball, human cannonball, and even just the last few moments of almost every workout we do, you know, easy twists, deeper twists, stuff like that. That'll help out a great deal when it comes to, you know, back and other stuff like that. But you're also, you're working the upper body as well, you know, grabbing the shoulders and such. So light is always the way to go. You know, I mean, intuitively, we kind of know when we're doing things that may aggravate it or bother us in the future. And we, you know, then we choose to either do it or not, right?
Right. Pain is pain. Cool. Well, hey, I'll let other people talk there and get their questions in. So I'll come back and listen here. You guys have a good night.
Thank you,
Travis.
And Travis, at 4:30 a.m. is going to be mixtape with a couple descending slow burn push-ups, bro. I don't know if he caught that on the way out.
I think he left before he said that.
Yeah, Doc, we've been doing getting up, me, Travis, another guy, Jake, and his wife at 4:30 a.m. to do workouts. We all text them back and forth, which has been pretty awesome. So,
4:30 a.m.
4:30 a.m., yeah. Jake, and everybody's heard this a couple times, but Jake hit me up and said, hey, we need to get some workouts in. Do you want to sort of be accountable to each other? He's like, the only way that we can really get them in is if we're doing them at 4:30 a.m. We got so much stuff going on. So I said, yeah, sure. And then Travis heard about it. He wanted to jump in. So that's what we're doing.
That's phenomenal. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
You guys are crazy, but I love it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, those guys get up and go to work. When I'm done, I go back to bed. I get another hour of sleep. But, Stacey, you've been collecting some questions in the chat room.
Yeah, I've got one from Mark Furness, who has a question on hip injuries and what can be done to either prevent one or help one that's already in place other than icing.
Okay. Well, the first thing we got to worry about in this case is if you feel prevention. Okay. Well, prevention is you're doing DDP yoga. Hallelujah, that's beautiful, right? this, you know, increased flexibility, increased circulation throughout the body, you know, core strength, minimal joint impact, that's going to, you know, there's a huge difference between, you know, running 6-8, you know, miles a few days a week, even if it's 3 or 4 miles a few days a week, and getting your cardio in by doing DDP yoga with almost no impact on your hips. You're already preventing a hip injury. You're probably slowing down anything that would look like arthritis. Number two, you know, if you're dealing with prevention, then, you know, you have to keep things moving. I would say find yourself a very good either a chiropractor or physical therapist who can show you and tell you if there are, and this is important, hip imbalances, if you have a tendency to walk into one leg or one hip with more weight than the other, if you have regular, you know, if you're going to have regular chiropractic visits, you know, or deep tissue massage therapy visits, visits that look at the structure and help balance the skeleton, that's a way to prevent them. The third thing is, and by the way, look at your shoes. If you look at your shoes, look at the wear pattern on your shoes, you'll be able to tell right away if you're putting more weight into one hip than the other. If that happens, and that happens ongoingly and continuously, where you notice you have a wear pattern that's unusual in your shoes, meaning one side more than the other, more than likely you're creating a future arthritic problem on the side that you're wearing that shoe out on more than, you know, on one side than the other. Hopefully you got, you know, so knowledge and understanding is really the best part of the start of prevention. I hope I'm answering this.
And hopefully you don't let it go so long that you end up like Jay did, right?
Yeah.
Oh. Go ahead.
You know, I was going to say, you know, but the whole idea in regard to prevention is, you know, it's the whole idea. If you think that something's going on, go get an X-ray. You know, don't leave to guess.
Well,
go get an X-ray. Have somebody evaluate you.
I see that Mark and I, we're in similar situations. We've both lost a great deal of weight, and I never had any trouble, like with my knees or my hips, oddly enough, until after the weight was gone. And is that sort of like post-traumatic stress, the body's kind of reacting to all those years it was bearing the weight?
I mean, could be. You know, it's very odd, though. I mean, and now you're saying you're feeling that. Mark is feeling that. Have we seen that on from a number of folks who've experienced the same thing? I mean, I would have to say that there's a possibility that there may be some fascial constriction in the area. In that way, you know, once again, you look at foam rollers. When you've had big swings or if you've had changes in the big weight changes mean weight changes possibly in the structure of the body. It means, how the structure deals with with the body. Is it possible that it was something lurking? Perhaps. I think that maybe, are you feeling decreased range of motion also with the pain?
Well, for me, I guess so. It's sort of been diagnosed on in terms of my knee as a Baker's cyst.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it just gets very tight, and it kind of bumps around, and it does definitely have an effect on the range of motion.
Mm-hmm. And that's the Baker's cyst. And in Baker's cyst situations, sometimes, you know, those are removed. Did the doctor offer that as an option?
No, it wasn't a doctor. It was more like a coach.
Uh-huh.
That
okay.
diagnosed it just based on what I was describing.
Hmm.
So it comes and goes. You know, it's not horrible, but it's just annoying.
One thing I would do is I would check out maybe an extremity specialist of sorts who would be able to really analyze what's going on with your body. But you know, the first thing you think of is when you've had changes in your really in your body as far as weight is concerned. There's tissue that has changed. You might even want to look at, once again, fascia, what's going on with the elasticity of that tissue. And, mm-hmm. You might even just want to start on the muscular level and start maybe getting some deep tissue work, whether it's myofascial release, or which is actually not deep tissue work, that is kind of superficial tissue, but it's very important tissue, or deep tissue release work, maybe even like roll fingers and therapy. But, you know, you may want to start there and then begin to and then take it, you know, from that level because it certainly makes sense with big weight changes, you know.
Well, rolfing is right underneath skydiving for things I really want to do. But it sounds like it'll be, I bet it's worthwhile. I hear it's painful, but I might do it. Who knows?
I would start with myofascial release therapy and maybe even just using the foam rollers right away and see if that helps you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Let's take it light. You take it light first. You know, rolfing is, you know, rolfing is the mac daddy of deep tissue massage.
Right.
You know. Yeah. Only if you're mad at yourself, go and do some rolfing right away.
Okay.
That's awesome. I think we've got two more callers to hit before we reach the 10 o'clock hour. So they still with us, Robert?
Yeah, the next one up is area code
519.
They still with us, Robert?
Yeah, the next one up is...
Hey,
you get feedback.
It's Steve from Waterloo, Ontario calling.
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. I have a quick question and I want to share something. My question is, Yoga Doc, for using ice, what about using like the synthetic or the medical ice, like the liquid ice or the ice gels? What's your feeling on those as opposed to actual ice packs?
Well, I have to be honest that most of the things, when you're talking about the gels, you're talking about the packs. You're differentiating between, the actual, like the flat, they're almost like a blanket with the blue liquid in the middle, or
No, I'm talking about like up here in Canada, one that you can get is called Polar Ice, and it's basically, it comes in a tub, and it's blue, and it feels like shaving gel, and you rub it onto the infected area, and it uses like a menthol to cool the area down, so like a chemical cooling as opposed to a physical cooling?
Got it. Would that be, and is it, okay, comes in a tub, menthol.
You buy them at the pharmacy.
Yeah, okay. Would you say that a similar product would be like Bengay, Biofreeze, things like that?
Yes, they sound the same, yeah.
Okay, and it's more of like a cream or something. Those are good. I was just trying to create a level of differentiation there, not only for myself but anybody listening. That those are fine. I don't think that they're going to give you the same kind of anti-inflammatory relief and anti-inflammatory effect as ice itself and ice packs. What I found that those preparations are very good at is they're actually really good at loosening you up and causing you to actually move a little bit better, increasing your range of motion, kind of when you're feeling really stiff in the morning or, you know, or even, again, Stacey, to go back to what you were talking about, the old sitting at the computer for hours and hours and hours. I find that a lot of my patients and myself included, I like to use the Biofreeze or something like Polar Ice when you're trying to relieve those stiff muscles and maybe even, you know, compressed joints. It feels good and it gives you a little bit of increased range of motion. But I'll tell you what, it's not going to – even if they say they have enzymes in the – you know, or they're an enzymatic effect which decreases inflammation, I don't necessarily know if I buy that. And if they do work a little bit, I still think ice works a little better.
It does. Thank you.
Yeah.
The second thing I wanted to share is I have a son who will be 6 in January, and he has neurofibromatosis. And F1, it's some people often call it elephantitis or what the elephant man had, slightly mistaken, but there's a very good chance that he'll develop all kinds of complications later on, and he's been in speech therapy and physical therapy and occupational therapy for a couple of years now, even though he's only 7 years old. I've been doing DDP yoga for 100 days now straight, 2 or 3 days a week now. He's doing it with me, does the full workouts, and he's developing a range of motion and ability that a year and a half with an OT and a PT hasn't given him. And I just want to throw that as a shout-out there. DDP has asked me to try and get a video of it. I've posted pictures of it on the Facebook group of him doing it with me. every time I try to get a video, he goofs off, so I'm trying to set something up so I can catch him without him realizing I'm doing it. But I wanted to just share that with you guys out there that even for conditions completely unrelated, this is changing his life. And doing stuff, he's able to do stuff that he couldn't do, and he was already realizing that his younger sister could do stuff that he couldn't do, and he's now starting to make gains in those areas. And I just want to share how amazing that was.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow.
Fantastic.
So that's all I've got tonight, so have a great night, guys, and thanks for the great show.
You too. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much, and here's that's just phenomenal. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, that is. That's amazing. That's really cool. So he kind of touched on a quick point there, Yoga Doc, as far as people like rehabbing or having certain conditions that they could work through. You know, is there a good plan of attack for people who have like maybe a pre-existing condition or something like that that might restrict movement as far as what DDP Yoga could do for them? Or
okay. As far as let me try to understand what you're saying exactly. Is there a plan of attack? Could you say that again?
Yeah. So somebody who might have like an arthritis or a condition like he mentioned that might limit their range of movement right now. Maybe they've tried some other things. Is there
sure.
a way that they could sort of jump into DDP Yoga that might work best for them?
Well, I mean, the thing that you do is you just attempt to do what's being asked of you, and then at that point you've got to make an assessment of what you can and can't do through pain, through loss of range of motion, through when you have structural challenges, different situations, whether they're a congenital birth defect or any kind of condition that's creating a problem. You just do what you can. I mean, remember, we can always go back to Arthur's video, right? And,
yep.
I'm the first thing that pops into my head is how Arthur had to modify everything, but he never stopped doing the workout in some way, shape, or fashion. Even if to get into a lunge, he had to take the chair that he was leaning on, flip the seat of the chair around, so that the seat of the chair gets up underneath his bent knee and his hamstring so he can sit down into the chair, lean onto the side of the chair, but still get into the lunge with support. You know, I mean, it's really about being crafty and having a level of ingenuity. But the nice thing about it is those modifications, we're doing everything we can now to try to teach people about them more and more. It also brings to mind Ray Lloyd, the Glacier, the old WCW. Mm-hmm. All right. Ray Lloyd, for the longest time, has been teaching children who were suffering from different types of disabilities, whether they're physical disabilities, developmentally disabled, in his special ed class. And he was putting them through movements and just continuously just working around. These are kids in wheelchairs, crutches, all the rest, and just getting them to do something that even remotely looked like these workouts, telling them, squeeze your muscles tight, getting that active isolation and that dynamic resistance, which, by the way, that's what, if your mind is telling your body to actively, engage, you're mentally and then physically turning muscles on that may not be turned on, you're increasing nerve energy and also blood circulation to these areas that may just have been kind of left by the wayside as far as your normal way of the body's operating systems working. And that, I believe, is really helping create the healing. So just getting to do anything and just trying to figure it out, that's how it starts. That's your strategy. That's a long answer to a short question.
No, but that's awesome. You mentioned some of the modifications and stuff and being crafty. And if people just type DDP Yoga and modification or Arthur or go to Team DDP Yoga, the best part about it is we have people like Arthur and, I know Doug Steffen has done a few things because he's mm-hmm. had pretty much every part of his body operated on. But you can go through there. Yeah. Somebody's already modded it. So if you have one of those conditions, you should check out some of the videos they've done.
Yeah, actually, that's something we really need to continue to remind people about, just because, you know, we've all been doing it for a long time, but, you know, there are guys out there and girls out there that are just starting that, you know, haven't been around us as long, and we've got to continuously remind people that there are modifications. I got to be honest, I didn't know, Sparky, that there are YouTube videos out there. Awesome.
I put together a list. I have a blog of some of the stuff that Arthur did, because my wrist sometimes gets me really bad. I had very poor – I sit at a computer all day now, but I also played piano for 9 years with the worst form ever. My wrist kill me when I do moves. And I found Arthur's towel modifications where he rolls up a towel and puts it under the palm of his hand. And that really, after doing it for about 30 or 60 days, that really saved my wrist. He's got a ton of stuff out there, and Doug's got some stuff out there. But, yeah, and videos that people put up, there's just a ton of information out there.
Beautiful. Yeah, perhaps we can even, we'll put that out there, maybe even on, you know, on DDP Yoga Facebook, you know, just to remind everybody about it, because it's huge. It's very important, because, you know, they're, like I said, there's people with all kinds of problems that are trying to do these workouts. And, you know, and they're working through things, and this actually gets to somebody whose email I had the opportunity to see someone's email. His name is John from Canada, John NS. And, you know, actually Dallas brought this to my attention. He said, you know, you guys are talking about a lot of weight loss, but there's a lot of people out there that are trying to heal their bodies, and they're trying to physically and mentally heal from old injuries, doing rehab. I really would love for you guys to start talking about that. Well, that email was sent out a few days ago to us, and here you go, John.
And John's in the chat, so he got a nice shout out there. That's pretty cool. You know, and that wouldn't be a bad idea for one of our next challenges in the WIC group. If everybody who's doing this, I'm sure at some point somebody had something tweaked or did something, but if for one challenge, if everybody sat down and recorded just like a short 2 or 3 minute video of something that they did to mod, and we all put it somewhere and tagged it up, the wealth of information we would create in just 1 month would be amazing.
I agree. I think that's a phenomenal idea.
Yeah, and we might have one more person left out there on the phone, Robert, I think.
Yep, it's area code 603.
Yo, what's up? It's Mike Mullins. How you guys doing?
Mikey,
hey, Mike.
What's up?
What's up, Dr. of Rock? The Doctor of Rock.
Hey, brother.
Hey, I had a quick question. I wanted to hit you up on in regards to my girlfriend, and I had a quick question about certification as well. I was really excited to hear this topic tonight. My girlfriend is a dental hygienist, and she sits for 8 hours a day in really awkward positions, hunched over patients, you know, in people's mouths, twisting in weird positions, and she literally comes home most days and can barely walk through the door. And I'm worried about, I know she's been doing this for 3 years, and her back, it really bothers her at work. And I'm worried about the long-term complications for being in this career, because this is her career, and just, you know, the back issues. Is there? I was wondering if you had any suggestions for either DDP yoga or traditional yoga or any kind of stretches or exercises she could do, like, in between patients or even when she comes home to just, you know, help with that situation, because she, like, I'm on back rub duty for, like, an hour when she gets home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I am so glad you brought this up. And this also, this will fit right into, Stacy, one of your former questions and comments about folks who are, you know, let's say they're not bent over patients in positions, but even just folks who are, you know, sitting at computers for hours, how about driving trucks for days, things like that. What you want to do, and you use the principles of yoga right now. You think about what position am I sticking myself into for hours at a time, and you create the counter position. and you try to do it for at least, and if you can get into that position for 10 minutes, you're going to really create a major, major change. So let's just, for example, the counter position for sitting at a computer or bending over dental patients all day, you know, you're tilted, your head's to one side, you might be leaning in with one shoulder down and one shoulder up. Now, obviously, you don't have to stand to the other side all the way, you know, for 10 minutes at a time to do that, but you can certainly put yourself in what I call like a position neutral and into extension, which is get a bunch of blankets, maybe three or four blankets folded upon each other to the point where it actually supports your upper back, or let's say the part of your back from the bottom of your neck all the way down towards your tailbone, you know, your pelvis. Lie back on that elevated piece, or maybe even a bunch of propped up pillows. Get your head back up on the pillows. As long as you don't feel dizzy, you can even bring your head into extension, so your head's touching the ground and you're even looking behind you with your chin up toward the ceiling. Again, monitor if you get dizzy. If you get dizzy, don't do that. Bring your arms out wide in a T, and maybe even bend your elbows and put your elbows on the ground in your arms like in a, you look like a cactus, and you lean your head back, and you let those blankets or pillows support you and lift your chest. You do that kind of stuff, you're going to reset your upper back. You're going to start to, you know, you're going to start to counterpose all of that tension from the day. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's perfect. I mean, that's incredibly helpful.
Yeah, they call that the fish posture in traditional yoga. But what you're doing is you're in supported fish. You know, the research talks about how the body, if you put it in a position for 10, 15 minutes at a time, good, bad, or indifferent, meaning, you know, healthy position or not healthy position, the body is going to start shortening, like muscles and ligaments and tendons will start shortening. Others will start overstretching, like if you're leaned forward all day, your neck muscles get tighter. Your neck muscles in the front of your neck, the muscles, ligaments, and tendons start to get shorter. The muscles in your upper back begin to stretch, weaken, and get longer as you're leaned over somebody or leaned over your keyboard or leaned over your whatever, steering wheel, patient. The body will begin to conform. And if it's 10 to 15 minutes, your body's going to go there, and it's going to continually neurologically dial in that crappy posture. So what you got to do is put yourself in a mirror image, and if you can hold yourself in the opposite position for 10, 15 minutes, you're going to start dialing your body out of those out of that, you know, aberrant posture.
Awesome.
Yeah, because how many people are running around where their neck feels tight, your trap muscles feel tight, their shoulders feel round in the front, and when they lean over to maybe wash the dishes, their upper back, it feels like there's a toothache back there between their shoulders.
That's me. That was me.
Probably a lot, awesome. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so go ahead and find the opposite position, which is, you know, get your back up on, you know, get your back supported, lean your head all the way back as long as, you know, you're not getting dizzy or if you don't feel lightheaded, even put your head on the ground, lift your chin, get your arms out wide, even put them, you know, elbows down, arms up, or even just go into a full cross position where the arms are out really wide. And, man, I'll tell you, you take a few deep breaths in those positions. You can even hang your head off the edge of your bed and do that. You're going to feel really good. And if you can do that for a few minutes, it's not going to be easy, but a few minutes, and then maybe work your way up to 10 or 15, you're going to start resetting your body and resetting your posture. It's going
to
help.
Awesome. I can't wait to have her listen to this. That's going to be a huge help. I think so.
Rock and roll, man. Absolutely.
And I have one quick question for you. I'm about to do the level one workout after the show, and I'm going to throw a record on the turntable. What do you think, Iron Maiden, Number of the Beast, or Power Slave?
Oh, well, you're not going to lose either way, brother, I'll tell you. those are the two albums that we actually draw the most songs from in our Iron Maiden tribute show.
Nice.
Not a loss.
Big Maiden fan.
Yeah, awesome.
All right, guys, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I appreciate Yoga Doc. It's a huge help.
My pleasure.
See you guys.
Thanks for calling.
Cool.
The intro to Number of the Beast would be great for a warm-up, wouldn't it?
The intro to Number of the Beast?
Yeah. I can just picture me doing a warm-up for that.
Oh, you got to love it, man. Absolutely. You know, it'll definitely get you. Hey, that should really be we should play that and the whole song. Think about that. That would be a phenomenal start to the ignition portion of the DDP yoga workout.
We don't get enough slack as it is.
Yeah.
Yoga Duck, I've got a quick question from Don in the chat room. Any strong opinions on braces versus KT tape or rock tape?
Okay, so strong opinion, braces typically, and you know, now in this day and age, there are sometimes braces are made lighter and lighter and lighter in order to act like tape. And you're talking about the KT tape or the rock tape. That's kind of like kinesio tape. That's KT. Kinesio taping was created actually to almost energetically reset a muscle in its origin and insertion, where braces are typically, you know, traditionally created to support the ligamentous structure of a joint. So, I mean, honestly, it really depends on what you're trying to do and what the nature of, you know, what the nature of the possible injury or the weakness is, you know? Because one is dealing with an energetic activity and trying to heal maybe a muscular situation when you're dealing with kinesio tape, and others if you're dealing with traditional braces. Neoprene sleeves kind of act a little bit like both, you know, depending on what area you're talking about. So I'm not really giving you a straight answer, but I want to just say that they're kind of two different things. You know, one is more for muscle realignment, and the other is more for joint realignment and support.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
thank you.
You know, splitting hairs. Sometimes the KT tape is also used over a joint, you know, to try to stabilize a joint. Like sometimes we use that for chiropractic adjustments or something around the sternum or the sternoclavicular joint or the AC joint. If that's the case, there are other types of tape that you can use in order to stabilize the joint. But it really just depends. And quite honestly, let's just be real. Whatever works, you try one and you try the other and you see what works better for you.
Okay, thank you.
Well, this has been a pretty awesome and informative show with some really great information. So I don't know what to leave the people with as a last thought on sort of working through injuries, rehabbing, making sure you don't injure yourself. So, Doc, if you want to sort of have the last word on that, go for it.
You got it. Well, the way we talked about it is, you know, use your basics and fundamentals, which is, you know, that heart rate monitor is also there to keep you from pumping a lot of inflammation in your system. You use the heart rate monitor principles in order to keep yourself closer to the aerobic and fat burning zone so that you can actually do these workouts the next day and the next day. That's number one. You want to ice injured areas, ice inflamed areas or sore areas. You want to maybe just put moist heat on maybe some tired or achy joints. But just use your head, really use your head. I think the smartest thing you can do is you really do know like the difference between, hey, should I go here or maybe I shouldn't. And, you know, if you ever have any questions or any needs, there are so many people right here and on Team DDP Yoga to help you along the way. And that's all I got to say about that.
Thanks, Forrest.
And I feel bad because I definitely know I will never take my hamstrings to the point that I took them 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You got to remember the golden rule, Sparky.
Yeah, yeah.
Do unto your hamstrings as you would have them do unto you.
because they will.
They will never suffer at the hands of my ego again.
Oh, yeah. But sometimes, you just got to go for it. What if it wasn't the 100-bang salute, Sparky? What if it was just somebody that found themselves having, they're playing softball with, maybe they're at a company softball game or, something at a picnic, and they hit the ball and they decide, wow, I got this base hit. I'm going to run as fast as I can, whether it's down to first base, trying to stretch a single into a double. They can create the same scenario with their hamstrings that you did with the 100, bang salute. And hopefully we gave them an opportunity to understand that if that's the case, it's something you're not used to. You might be creating more of a muscle tension situation, tightening the fascia, start icing, start stretching lightly. It just doesn't have to happen with us overdoing it, knowingly and willingly with our exercise. It can just happen while we're, playing a game, having fun, playing racquetball. It's all there for us. And P.S., don't forget www.ddpyogacertification.com for crying out loud. Check us out.
And that is an awesome site, and people can get into that if they're thinking about it, because I'm taking my time with it, and I'm enjoying it, because there's a lot of good people there. There's some very excited people and a lot of people doing cool stuff in there, like Nolan, and man, that guy just rocked it out last week. So.
Oh, yeah. And more and more people are signing up. I think we're going to have classes across the country someday soon.
Oh, yes.
Folks, I got people contacting me all over the world. England already has a few people that are in the there are two guys from England, Hayden and Tony. There are a few others as well. There are folks interested in Canada, in Australia.
Cool.
It's pretty darn cool. Pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
I'm really excited.
The sun's never going to set on DDP yoga.
No. What do you say, Robert? Because I know you've got the information, brother.
Well, yeah. I was going to say that I got two emails today from Canada, and only one was from a moose.
Oh, my God.
Thank you. Well, Robert, Stacy, you got anything for the people before we go?
No, just keep icing. Don't do what I did, and not do it. Ice when you need to.
And drink water, because that's a natural anti-inflammatory too. Don't forget about that.
Cool.
And I think we've rendered Robert speechless, which could be a first for the show.
No, I'm good.
Awesome, brother. Well, it's been a great show. I want to thank Travis, Steve, and Mikey for calling in, and the co-hosts of DDP Radio, Robert and Stacy. Thanks, guys, as always. You make it the best. And Yoga Doc, thanks for taking your time and coming on. This has been a fantastic show for the people. Thanks a lot, brother.
Thank you, Yoga Doc.
You're very welcome. Honestly, I had a blast, and I'd love to do it anytime. You guys just let me know.
Cool.
Sounds good.
We'll do that.
Okay. The deal.
All right, and for everybody else out there in DDP Radio land, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being in the chat room. And remember, start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can. And if the 10% comes a knocking, kick it right in the ass and live life at 90%.
Checked it today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige. Into the diamond cutter.
I don't believe it. Diamond cutter out of the powerbomb.
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work, and most importantly,
own your life.
Talk Radio.